and read that to him and tells him that he has to do all the work to get that into some stones that are then going to be buried and then be found and then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Funny, you're a pagan, communist country person. You don't know who Moses is or John the Baptist. You don't have the Bible down too good.
No, I don't. No.
No religion.
No, I'm from a family that did not go to church. So I'm not baptized. No confirmation, no church.
Well, how does that happen? Is it because they were socialists or something?
They were socialists.
Right, because their grandparents might have been Christian, right?
Yeah, the grandparents were Christian, and they thought that your religious belief is very much a private thing. You should never discuss that on TV, as you always do in the U.S. I mean,
yeah.
In the U.S., you have it tattooed in your forehead. I'm with that church. So it's very, very exotic for Swedes to see that.
Right.
Yeah, going to this or that church. And it all became very stark in the family when one of my sisters decided, I'm going to become a priest. What? So
wow.
We got one Bible thumper here in the family.
So what happened? What happened to the family when that happened?
Oh, my brother, he looks to the ceiling and just sighs. Oh, no, she's not again. And 10 years before that, I started to look at why are we so unconnected to anything? We have lost our faith completely. And that was my battle to come back to some kind of faith.
Mm.
So I'm kind of
a spiritual, not so materialistic.
Yes, yeah, very much a spiritual quest. Has been going on since 92.
Wow.
Yeah, your kids, like the commies, the socialists, took over, so they could ban religious training and didn't encourage it at all in the education.
Yes,
so they had a couple of generations who didn't know anything.
Very clearly, yes. I mean, in the French culture, they have words for this struggle when you chop off church from state, and chop off education from church, but we don't even have words for that. It's just happened.
Wow.
No.
So, did this happen after World War II?
Yes.
Or before?
Yes. It probably happened before, and that was maybe one of the struggles of Dag Hammarskjöld. He was really a man of faith.
Yeah.
And he saw that, oh no, society is going into this drifting life of having no connection back to where do we come from. So he was very much a searcher man himself. And then we get Olof Palme, which is our version of JFK, and he was not a spiritual man. He was a
Harvard
man.
Who was?
Olof Palme.
Harvard
went to Harvard.
Who?
Yeah. He went to Harvard. Olof
You're not
Palme.
Saying who he is. Who?
Olof Palme.
Oh, Palme, yeah. So,
Our version of JFK.
Right. So the Republicans and the conservatives, they think it's horrible that the Democrat, the left, far left, take over, and we don't have any families or any sexual differences. What the conservatives are worried about, the Democrats, where they're going to take America, happened to Sweden around the, you know, at least after World War II, and then how you became this liberated this culture with an image of sexual freedom over there. Where did that come from? Or was that just part of the left non-family situation?
No, it is two things. So, state decided, okay, state is going to take care of all the citizens. No person would have to rely on their family in their old age. So the state becomes very outspoken, the welfare society. And simultaneously with that, after or through the war, many women became emancipated and got a job for themselves, and they don't have to be in relations that are no good for them, so they get their own salary and start going abroad or traveling and looking at the world. And that's when the very strange rumor of Scandinavian women are so easy to get into bed because they are emancipated. They can decide for themselves.
Yeah, they don't have the religious morality hanging over them.
No. And maybe not even a marriage clinging to that.
Yeah. Point. So did you say Scandinavian or Swedish?
Yes, Scandinavian. I mean, if you ask someone about Danish, they don't. Most people around the world don't know the difference between Dane and a Swede or Norwegian. Those giants.
What are Scandinavians? Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Norwegian.
Yes, and Iceland.
And
why that is not a unity in itself, I don't know.
Right.
Why do they have to chop themselves up into five different things? I don't know.
But generally, the Danish have little religion? Were they socialist?
They're socialist in your eyes.
Yeah.
They are more conservative than we are, and the Norwegian are also more conservative than we are. And then you have the Icelandic that are drinking and fucking around
They're anarchists. Yeah, they're anarchists.
Yes. And they have the servers for WikiLeaks and all of that, so they have showed themselves.
Yeah.
And they have an American base.
Right. Could the Swedish have the more libertine image because they had pretty stars coming out of Sweden, actresses that got into Hollywood? Would that have been a factor?
Well, Mr. Mediacology, you tell me. I don't know if that is why. I know there was early on creatively here.
Yeah.
And music have always been very important because we have music. Any kid who wants to study music can do that because the municipalities have music schools. So there is a larger basin of kids that actually get their fingers wet in music, and that creates a large basin of people that know something about music. So there are actually lots of people coming to Stockholm to produce the music here.
Right. So who is Bergman Norwegian or Swedish? Ingmar Bergman, the director.
Ingmar Bergman is Swedish.
Right. And he had... What was his famous actress
He was married to Liv Ullmann for a while, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Liv Ullmann, right. And
and she's Norwegian.
Because I remember in 1967, I Am Curious Yellow, that made a big splash. That was a Swedish porn, semi-porn movie from that day standards. And so Sweden was considered a radical place to make this sort of semi-porn movie and have it be part of the mainstream culture. So it attracted a lot of attention.
More of the porn actually happened in Denmark. If you ask our friend in Canada, the Flying Girl,
Sue.
What is her name now? Sue Bone.
Sue Bone.
She has seen the transformation of Copenhagen because when she went there early in the 70s, it was really the slum whores stuff in the harbor. And now that's the fashionable docks.
So yeah, what is that? I don't know about the harbor. What was in the harbor?
The tattoo, the bars, and the whores.
Oh, I see. She saw that.
She saw that in the 70s, and she's seen the transformation into the very spiffy docks of today.
Yeah. The conservative stuff.
Not conservative, it's development. I mean, if you want a nice flat today, it's going to be in the harbor new. It's gentrification, as it's called.
What changed? It went from low class prostitutes to high class prostitution. Is that what you're saying?
No, not prostitution, maybe, but how the city has changed from. Many parts were low class and outspoken areas. There are the whores and there are the beer drinking halls. And now these same houses are the richest, the spiffiest you can buy.
Oh, and they're not bought by whores.
No. That's the chicest you can have.
Right.
As in many other cities, gentrification going on.
Right. They took over the ghettos.
Soho is a problem. Yes. So, it's interesting.
So it's a media image about Swedish culture, libertine gospel. They are different from North Americans, but they're not that different. You have said that they're, conservative or something in Sweden in general?
No, I don't think so. I mean, not compared to any American states.
Right. So there's something about the Swedes that you didn't like.
For me personally, I could not abide to the completely unrooted spirituality.
Yeah.
There is no meaning in society if you don't have spirituality in there. Where are we going? It's aimless.
Yeah.
If you
are
don't
there many
know
people like
where
you
we come from? I think it's brewing.
Yeah.
And it's one of the parallel threads. You have the complete environmentalist saying we should. All eat grass and kill the cows and have vegan shoes.
Yeah.
And then it's the farmers, the conservatives that think we should shoot all the immigrants. It's their fault. And you've got a lot of people in the midst. And now we are coming into elections in 30 days. And I don't know which bloody independent I can use my vote for.
Mm.
Because they are all in the swamp.
They're all
and
what?
The swamp
in the
is not so. In the swamp. Swamp.
Oh, in the swamp.
We too
yeah.
have a swamp. Mm. But the swamp is not so visible. And people still believe in the state.
Mm.
I think my generation might be the last generation that actually believe that the state is going to help me with my pension and all that.
The younger kids
are
more cynical about that.
Yes. Still, they're still here. Many of them didn't go anywhere, didn't see anything, didn't try anything else. So
the younger ones you're talking about?
Yeah. They live in the couch. On the couch.
So that's where...
In the Black Mirror.
Yeah, the digital culture is the same everywhere. So national differences aren't so prominent anymore.
Yes and no. I mean, there are subcultures, and those subcultures go over frontiers, that's for sure.
Yes, that's where you bring in my five-body model. On the chemical body, there's differences in cultures, but on the digital level, there isn't. In the chip body, that's not a chemical body situation. So the culture of the chip body is the same all around the world.
Yeah, probably. And you can find your group wherever it is. I mean, I think this here church or cult or whatever we call it is a fine example where half of the people on the call are on the opposite clock from you.
Right. And they're not thinking in terms of race, age, or anything. No chemical body.
No.
Definition here. It's all within some hexadics search for some nebulous ascension.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. I'll spin my beans.
What'd you say?
Thank you. I've used up all of my talk bubbles. My beans.
All right.
My beans.
Right. So
he started with Poland and Finland. Yes.
Yeah, so everybody, this is a hexadic culture here. Hexadic body.
Culture, yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it's sad because there are very few that even want to know about it. Ian told us, Bert, he lost his family, and Aira just lost her, and now Nina also lost most of hers, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, most of my family don't even know that I didn't go to Tennessee, so, yeah.
Yeah, and you're led, in quotes, led by Bob and Connie, who don't have any fucking family.
Exactly.
Aira. Did you ever stay in contact with that guy who's a programmer who called into the show? You remember that guy? I forgot his
name.
Yuri.
He's on our Telegram. He's on our Telegram channel, and he was actually the one swearing about the ass-licking presidents. So he is very much in touch with us, but he is not much of a speaker.
You're talking about Yuri, the kid?
It was another Yuri.
Yuri, who is actually Finnish, and his spelling is different. He uses a yod.
I remember that. I remember there was another strange name over there who got the drops or something.
Yeah, you got very upset that I brought him in to the call and he was going to do the new cloud, and it was a bit too much for him. He got shy.
But Bob doesn't get upset.
Did you say I got upset?
Yes.
At what?
Yes.
What was I upset about?
We have been talking about the new cloud for weeks. And then I bring Yuri in, and he's getting a big mouthful about the cloud. First time he calls him. So that overwhelms him so much, it takes him two years to call in and mumble something to you next time. So he got really overwhelmed. He's listening, but he
got overwhelmed by Ion.
Yes, and probably you too.
But I didn't, I don't remember being irritated by him.
No, you were starting yelling and shouting, here he comes in after 2 seconds. Blah, 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 blah.
What?
That was a bit much for him.
You mean I objected to Ion giving him the role?
Exactly.
I see. Mm. Yeah, because Chad had the role.
Yeah, well, I think Chad had already left.
Oh,
this
I see.
Was when it,
right.
just before Dimitri actually showing up. So
right.
there was a void, and yeah.
So Ian, here this guy had a computer.
Calling.
You got a computer, okay, buddy? You're doing our work.
Exactly.
Has Dimitri officially given that up?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, he's plowing along.
He's saying himself he's very lazy. So, plowing along.
Well,
as
and
fast.
Now Ion's got him fucking as much as possible, so I don't know where he finds the time.
What does he have to do exactly? I mean, there's no real instructions as well.
No, there aren't.
That's right.
It's a very hard situation to be in.
He's got to figure out the questions to ask. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
But really, what is he going to do? Sit on his computer and try and type in code? Or, oh, it's just very, I don't even know where I would start.
No.
I know, it's ridiculous. I got an image of the cloud. It's not even a computer. It's some kind of frequency or something.
Well,
that's what, based on what Ian was saying recently.
Yeah, that's the sense that I have.
What'd you say, potential?
That is the sense that I have, that it's more like a frequency that you have to tune to, attune yourself to.
Chad got frustrated by the project.
Yeah, what happened?
So frustrated that he left for 5 years.
That was one of the reasons he left. He didn't see anything was happening there, or he didn't understand what I wanted.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like what Dimitri has to do start is pull up every single instance where Ion mentions the cloud and map that out. Yeah. Like what Bert's done with the Klathonites, just pull out every single time the cloud is mentioned and see what emerges.
Yeah, that's what Bert
questions
does.
Emerge.
I'm not shitting on Dimitri, but I did send him a good amount of notes in February 2020. And he had to ask the question for the fucking note, so.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Yeah, you didn't have to help, but you.
And he has yet to ask a question, and I kind of prompted him maybe 2 or 3 months ago and said, listen, ask some questions, and I gave him some clues, and he has yet to ask those questions, so I've bowed out of helping.
Yeah, you actually offered. You didn't have to.
Right.
You didn't have to, but you actually helped him a little bit.
Yeah, well, Ian kind of told me to, and then, you know, I kind of pushed back on Ian. I said, well, I've sent him notes, and he has yet to ask questions, so what can I do?
Yeah,
Bert, you keep a tight inventory based on dates, kind of like Bob.
Yeah.
Like when I didn't do the keys and errors, you're like, really, man? I sent them 18 months ago.
Yeah.
You're keeping tabs on everyone.
That's probably why I enjoy Bob, because I'm like, fuck, he's a lot clearer of me. But, you know, it's an evolution process, because I can still kick myself in the ass of when I first started listening to Ion. I was just writing dates and not doing timestamps to go back and refish out all the info, because Ion gave a lot of clues of on the cash flow days, things that stuck to me, and I just like, you know, sitting at work, multitasking, I was just like, you know, okay, chromosome 14 is the, you know, things like that. And I just said, but I, you know, looked at this document, and I'm like, fuck, I can't go back and pull anything out of that to really make a quote even better. So I've evolved to it, to doing the timestamps and the dates and things. But yes, Brent, I'm a little stickler on that, but that has a little bit to do with my military background. Also,
well, what's enabled you to be such a good multitasker? That's part of it, and something I definitely struggle with.
Because of his job.
Lucky job.
Bert, Byrd had a unique situation where he could listen to the stuff all day long at work.
Right, and it's because of the job that I was doing at that time, I created it. I had an operations background, and then I went with this company, and I actually laid out all the operations to do the oversight as far as how the money went and everything like that. So I was doing it every day, every day, every day, that I could do it with my eyes closed and still, you know, listen. So it was pretty. But then also, Brent, it comes to, I'm getting ready to date myself, but I remember working in an office with paper and not a computer. And you, when you have paper, you have certain movements you have to do with paper. Whereas when you're sitting in front of a fucking laptop or a workstation, put it that way, with two screens, you don't have to get up. But if you had a piece of paper and you had to do something, you had to get someone to sign, you had to do this, this, and that, you had to do flows as far as using your feet and things. Whereas the type of work that I was doing at the time, it was just, you know, two screens. So it's easy, you know what you got to do, and you have two screens. So I have one screen up with a Word document, other screen work that I'm doing, and if I had to flip back, I would have two screens working, but I'm still listening. So it's an evolution of going into the chip body and now tech body, because there's a lot of things you can, you know, limit your movements of what you do and know what you have to do that you can do it that way. That's all I say. Might not make sense, but that's...
You slid into a bit of a timelessness using the tech body or the chip body to
your
advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard to do, because I try and block time out to specifically just listen and keep dose, and things just get in on the schedule, and then I reach this point where I'm like, I just need to multitask. I'm walking around with an earbud in, doing stuff around the house. Somebody tries to talk to me, and I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. I'm trying to listen here. It's not an easy skill. And it can be frustrating.
Do you use two earbuds or one?
I got one earbud in.
Yeah.
And then I've got, I've got, like, my girlfriend talking to me out of the corner of my eye, like, do this. And I'm like, okay, hold on. I totally missed what you just said there. I'm trying to keep notes. I mean, I get this flow, but it's hard to do. It's hard to multitask.
Yeah, I know. But I've... Over the, you're talking about, 11 years. Now it's an old hat for me. It's, pretty easy to do, but it's...
Well, it must involve the products as well. The products must have molded you to be able to do it.
Yeah, but, there's something about my interaction with Ion. I remember when I first started working with a computer... At work, I have an aptitude for numbers and organizing numbers and keeping track of things. And I remember the first, spreadsheet program called Lotus 1-2-3. And I jumped on that. I just absorbed that, jumped right on. So I'm sort of like what you would call a junkyard programmer. I've done computer programming, but I stepped out of it. But I can still talk to programmers. So I worked. I was a user interface was dealing with programmers to outline the processes that were manual, and then I went into the banking industry and had to deal with the computer aspects of the banking industry from the manual industry, and I kind of somehow had the aptitude for that. But yes, I agree, the products just expand that, where you're able to just see things differently. You just see things differently. You would consider a crazy bird. Like, the people at work thought I was a crazy bird because I was able to do a lot of things without much effort. But you just see things differently, that's all.
Yeah, it sounds like you use the program and the software to your advantage, and maybe that's what I need to be better at. It's like, come up with a system. Like, I try and talk to text to my phone. If I'm going to take a note, I'll talk to text, and it's like, I try and talk it out, and it doesn't come out right. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what a waste of time. I got to get a good system.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll find it.
You use, like, you use like Microsoft Outlook for all your notes and everything like that, right? So they're in a nice
space. It's funny, I evolved. It's funny just to share a story with me, like how when I was working and doing the stuff at work, I had a Word document, you know? So I had this long Word document. My first Word document for IAM was called Ion Trinity. That was my first thing when I first started listening in 2011, end of 2011. So I would go to work, open that up, and start working. And then when I hear something, I would type it and, you know, do a little date and just unload things. And then 2014, I have a payday 2014, 2015, 2016. All the years I have a payday document that I do things. But in 2016, the shop that I was working for got bought by an American company. And then all of a sudden, the leisure that I had of downloading the shows on my company computer got eliminated and became more of like a Gestapo thing where they just, you know, got rid of the hard drive. You couldn't do a USB stick, it, you know, because I had a lot of stuff I would take home from USB stick. They did all, they had a workstation. So then I had to like, okay, now how the fuck am I going to do this? So then that's when I became more engaged on my iPhone. So I would have all of the shows on my iPhone. Instead of going to the internet, I would just have the MP3s on my phone, and I would have my phone by my workstation. And then I would still type a document, but then I would send it to home. But then when they got really strict about watching what fucking emails you were sending, I'm like, well, how to fucking do this? So then I evolved to the point where I was, you know, the notes. Do you have an iPhone, Brent?
Yeah, that's what I use. I use the note function right now.
Do you know the note function?
The notes? Do I know the what? The note? Yeah.
The
note. That's what I use.
That's what I use. That's what I use now.
Yeah, and it backs up to your computer as well if you're running an Apple computer.
Yes, it backs it up. So I have other Apple devices and all in so I can just, you know, switch and move with that way. So that's what I use. But the thing of it is you have to go back and re-listen because, like, if you're multitasking, there's no way you're going to be able to transcribe everything you hear, so you just, like, make a title note and then go back and re-listen and then do it on a Word document. That's how I do it.
And you download the audio to your iPhone or you're listening to it straight off of a web link?
I do both. Like, I have a lot of Bob's Private Sessions on my thing. I've got to, like, clean my hard drive. I have, like, shows going back to 2012 and stuff. I have
another
external drive that I've got to move that to and not have it on my laptop.
Yeah, another thing I'm trying to sort out is I find that when you open the shows on your iPhone, it goes to that blank screen that's kind of the audio player. And the function of that audio player is so shitty. I mean, you try and go back 30 seconds, then you're back 6 minutes. And I'm trying to find out some sort of app where I can download it, expand it, and go back in 15-second intervals or something like that, or even slow down the audio.
What you can do, okay, you're still on the Apple device. What you can do is download the shows onto your laptop, your base station or whatever you use as far as your laptop, and then transfer those onto your iPhone, and then you have it, and then you can do the – that's what I do. And then you can do the 15-second back, and, you know, if you have to re-listen something, you can click it back. Do it that way instead of the
that seems like the right way to do it.
It is, because it's easy, because it'll make you crazy, because sometimes I do try to do that and I'm like, there's no way. I even sometimes I'll try to do that even in iTunes. It's better if you have it on your device, then you can go back 15 seconds to re-listen if you have to go back and keep it re-listening and things.
Right, it has that arrow function where it only goes
right
back, and I have used that briefly, but it's like,
yes,
I'm trying to skip the step of having to download it, but at the end of the day, that's actually more efficient and worth
the time. Yeah, I mean, it's a little time at first because you have to download them, but it's just a process, and then you have them, and then you can, you know, maneuver around what you're trying to listen to versus trying to do it from, like, the website and everything. That's literally impossible to be accurate as far as what you're listening to.
Yeah, this is helpful. I mean, these little details do, they really make a difference.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're working through a show, I mean, you spend an hour and a half listening, and you find that you've only made it 25 minutes through, and you're like, where'd all the time go? I mean, there's a lot of repeating and a lot of very small movements that can consume your timing and mess it all up.
Yeah, but you'll find that, well, for me, I find that engaging the show live, like what we're doing here, and then going to the archive, it changes your whole perception as far as dealing with normal human talk. Just put it that way. I mean, you, like I was telling Bob yesterday when we were speaking, I made it a point to listen to Dark Journalists, and when Bob recommends it, and then I took it upon myself to listen to the Dark Journalist when he had Catherine Alston's Fist, and I struggled. Luckily, it was only like maybe 39 minutes or 40. It wasn't a full hour, so I said, okay, Alfred, it's true. But at the end, it's really worth the stuff to listen to. Because what you have here is you have a source that can talk about any fucking thing that you come up, as long as you ask a question that doesn't have a degree of saturation, or even sometimes you can even do that. And you just summarize, you listen to something, read something, and ask this source, and they'll be able to spit it out to you. Versus, the Dark Journalist goes on, he repeats itself, and then at the end, we're getting back. I don't know if you're familiar with Catherine Alston's Fist.
Yes, I am.
They don't have anything to talk about right now because I could tell that they can. They're not on the RNA. They're not on the complement product, so they're being affected by the frequency change, by the AL2SO4. Everything is changing, and at the end, she told the Dark Journalist that she's recommending people pray, and right then I said, okay, this is my last Dark Journalist thing, because they have nothing really to offer people. And it's a shame, it's a sad thing, because a lot of people look up to him, and a lot of all other people are out here trying to do pattern recognition, but as Bob's six Copernican revolutions, there's nothing else other than here, because it's teaching you how to perceive what's going on. And, we have this, like I said, this voice that you can ask any question, and it'll give you a dot on this huge dodecahedron of angles of what's really going on, that you can get a little bit of a idea of what's going on, that everything else for me just doesn't fit it for me anymore. Just to listen to it. I mean, I can listen to maybe, it used to be 20 minutes, but now it's like after listening to some newscast for 10 minutes, I know what's going on, I don't need to. So now sometimes I just read the headlines. I don't even listen.
Hey, well, Bert, the slowness
let me say this.
Incredible.
You know, Mrs. Fitz, she was ahead of her time 30 years ago in her cynicism about politics and mainstream democracy. But the population has caught up instinctively, maybe not intellectually sophisticated, but everybody does, as Ian says, they don't believe in anything anymore. Really
right.
Eroded. So everybody's at the not believing external information coming at you. So what do you recommend? She can't tell anybody something new about the attitude about being cynical about the media and the government. So then it comes down to what people are by habit, by instinct, by temperament. So the meanies go over to the right wing or survivalists. The wimps go over to the left and women's shelters and stuff. You go with your instinct, but nobody has an all-encompassing breakthrough level like we have. Nobody has what we are offering, health and, like James Martinez, he's just talking about technology and cold play, cold fusion. He doesn't have any health thing to talk about. We got both. So what people require is what we're offering, and you can start a new civilization with what we're offering. You can't have a civilization with everybody cynical, not believing anybody, and by temperament just hanging out with the kind of people they like, from their own bias. So that's the fragmentation, and there's no way around that. And so that's why now Catherine Austin Fitz puts out these charts and learned articles. That's not working, so now she's reduced to just praying.
Yes. Yes.
And Bob, even in terms of things that haven't really come to fruition for people, like we talk about the cold play, but you know, nobody's really seen it or used it. But just listening to this show, you're getting a new insight every minute at the very least.
Yeah.
And that's why Bert and I are saying you got to rewind in 15-second intervals, because you're like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that? It's just stimulating on a whole different level.
Exactly.
You listen to these other people, you can actually speed their audio up 2 times and listen to an hour video in 30 minutes. And, I mean, people see me doing that all the time. They're like, what are you listening to? It's on 2-plus speed. You're on YouTube. And I'm like, can you understand that? And I'm like, well, there's not that much to understand. You're getting 1 point in the whole hour.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
It's one talking point. You know, you're just surfing to see if you can find the talking point. So, oh, you go to some doctor that's going over the vaccines and he's giving you all this data. And you're like, okay, I got my 1 point out of there. My one point. It's not really that great.
And usually it's like, if you start listening to them after 20 minutes, I cut it off when they start repeating themselves. I'm like, okay, I got the point. No need to proceed. And I can't even do it anymore. And it's not saying that I'm better than them or, you know, arrogant, but it's just like, okay, Brent, that's when you came around. If you just think about when Ion relanded publicly, April 2019, and compare that to, I don't know if you go back and listen to the archives of 2014, 2015, 2016, up to like February 2017. When they came back 2019, the speed of that train was not even close to what it was in 2017. It wasn't even close. I mean, they just like unloading, like, you know, the train started rolling, and here we are 3 years later, and we're exposed to a lot of information. I mean, just the thing. Just look at Bob's private sessions, okay? We get an hour. You know, it was always an hour in the past, maybe an hour and a half. But in the last 4 months, we've had at least 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours of a private session. And, you know, that one, the long private session, maybe it was 4 hours and something. That might have been 6 months of information that we were exposed to in that private session. You know?
Yeah, I think if you show up post, 2016-ish, so I showed up right before Ion took a break, and then I do remember the night Ion came back. I think it was April 20th, 2019. Does that sound correct, or was it 2018?
No, it was 2019. Yeah, it was Hitler's birthday, April 20th.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, oh my God, that just because I didn't have the exposure to Ion before for like 2 weeks. And I got to talk to Ion that night, I remember, and oh my God, my heart was racing. It was just really, really intense.
Yeah.
I think if anybody shows up like any time now without any background, they might not be able to catch up. I mean, it's way too
much. Well, they can if you put in the effort. There's ways to do it. If you want to.
I mean, it just would be really hard. I had a whole 3 years to listen to old archives, just cataloged Ion stuff on Ion and Bob. Well, Bob was doing the new coach out. That really helped me actually learn about Ion. If Ion was live at that time, I don't know. I would have been drowning. And I don't know everything by any means, but I have
the
basics down.
I know nothing, because it's just like you're getting information, and you know, maybe it's obsolete the next time you talk to Ion, so you just keep looking at it. And I have, like, now that I've finished the books, I'm now trying to put some of my own puzzle piece notes together, because there's a lot of information that's been run through just technically from 2019 to now. That's like super overlays of the early stuff that Ion's like. I just closed, like I said, during my session here, I started asking Ion about salt fucking in 2015, and I closed the loop in the salt to be able to understand what's going on. Salt has changed completely. And, you know, Ion told me back in 2015 that the molar mass of salt was changing, and I just got to the key of why and what's going to happen. I got to go back and re-listen to it and make notes and then file it, and then I'm move on to the next thing, because we're getting close to the curtain call from where I look at it. I mean, it's not much. Ian said, what is it, beginning of the year, that's not much for them to say anymore.
Right. So this is Bert. Roxy just sent me a video. An armed man takes people hostage in a Lebanese bank, demanding to withdraw money from his own account. So it's probably one of those banks that wouldn't let people withdraw. So he robbed the bank to get his money back, his own money. Mm. Now, that's a new complication, a new nuance of bank robbery. But that's the complexity we're in. These are new, weird phenomena. You're just going to get more and more weird variations of the old cliches.
Yeah.
Did you see that's happening in England, too? They're not letting people withdraw?
Really?
Yeah. It's all over the place. Yeah, different countries are doing that. Well, what's amazing is Shanghai, the people months aren't allowed to leave their fucking apartment building to buy food.
Mm. And plus, there's one city in China where they won't allow them to withdraw cash, and they have tanks in front of the banks.
Yeah.
You don't hear much of that on the news. But I don't know what to believe on that, but I think Ian said that's real because, you know, they're very secretive, China is. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, remember 6 months ago, Ian was talking about the floods in China, dam broke and all that? Well, there's finally an item about it on Ed's site today.
Okay.
It has a picture of the people in horror as the dam breaks or something, the very thing that Ian talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't looked at it yet. I don't know what the content of it is.
No, I remember they sent me, that was like one of the first TikToks that they sent me about the dams breaking, and then the TikTok got eliminated right away.
Yeah.
Last year.
So you've got different cultures having different ways of being authoritative or different ways of holding the community together. So some cultures, their management says, no, we're not going to let people have their money. And that makes sense to them. So every effort to control a collapsing situation is going to fail, even though it'll be weird while it's happening. It'll be an odd situation, but it won't hold for long. So all the attempts to preserve the old order won't work.
What's the point behind holding the money?
The Lebanese guy, the point of getting the money?
Like applying traditional economics, why would they want to hold the money? I don't even get why that would be a thing.
Don't have cash enough for
They don't have it.
Yeah, they've been
That's
it's been
craziness.
Disappearing. The money's been disappearing.
And if they print it,
the banks don't have the physical cash. And then everything's more expensive, so they can't afford anything.
Diluted.
They're running on empty. The supply chain, everything is stopping up the flows. So they're just going to say, "I'm staying here. I'm put a tank out front, and I'm going to keep coming to work, even though I got nothing to do and nothing to work with." See, that's the joke of it.
Well, applying the Bob knowledge, if nobody needs to actually withdraw physical money and they just do everything over the internet and purchase things online, I mean, does it really matter if a bank has negative funds in terms of fictitious numbers? I mean, if nobody needs to withdraw physical money, then theoretically everything could just keep on going, right? They could just borrow deeper.
Well, that's,
and
you're
more
speaking
debt.
Within the American context. You got all these different cultures. They just got into banking and that kind of stuff. So their people have very different world views of where the money is and what it's for from your North American view.
Ah, yeah, so they're too slow to make that happen.
Yeah, like they got weird systems.
Because like my bank had no money and I wanted to take out $10,000 and they say, well, I mean, if he's just transferring $10,000 and he doesn't want it in physical cash, what does it matter? We'll just go down another 10 grand and, you know, I guess it works in that way. That's probably what's been going on, right? But Ion said something about that in one of their last private sessions in terms of comparing American currency to other countries and gave the example of, like, they have to settle the accounts at the end of the day, and it's becoming a real problem.
Yeah.
Well, Brent, a few boys probably be hard to find, but there was a Ed posted maybe 2 weeks ago about what's going on with the economy in China, and it gives you a basic overview that I've heard other times, and even I uncovering it about what's taking place in China, and it has to do with. They don't have the money because when someone deposits money, they loan that money. So a lot of the people, the money that they have, a bank has, is a liability. It's not an asset because it's all debt. Because if you take a small example, if you deposit $100 or $1,000, the bank will loan out some of that to other people. So it's basically the debt bubble is getting ready to burst. And if you compare... what has happened to the whole world from 2020 with these lockdowns and shit, just basically every fucking country is in debt, even Switzerland, and they had big cash reserves, but the lockdown, they're fucking talking about how many years it's going to take them to get their reserves back now, the money, extra money they had that they had to outlay for 2020 and part of 2021. So all the banks and countries are in debt right now, everyone.
In China specifically, it was very much to do with their strange...
Yes, because they have that real estate, that whole real estate. I mean, they were like giving real estate loans and not even building, or building and not completing things.
And now things are already so rotten in their concrete that the half-built flats have to be demolished.
Yeah. Now, that's a mess.
And that's when people realize all my savings are now... in crumbles. Life saving. It's bad.
Yeah, it is. But we've been prepped on this. That's part of the perception. Why Ion is saying the only alternative is to ascend.
Yes.
Yeah, people are living in different years. You know, the Rothschilds, they're living in... 2025. Canadians might be living in 2021. And then Singapore is living in 1995. So there's cracking and crashes and re-boosting happening discontinuously everywhere. You can't project a flat image and say that's what's going on. We're in a recession. Can't do that. It's too... too many different discontinuous spaces happening everywhere.
And the millennials don't care at all. They're just chugging along. They never worried about having a savings to begin with, so they're like, I don't really care. I find that very interesting. In terms of people trying to purchase first homes, like boomer parents are like, well, you should really have 20% down to purchase a home. If you can't have that, you can't really afford it. And they're all like, why? I don't have that. Pretty incredible. I guess that's the ascension from default, is that they're not as vulnerable as like a boomer generation that's trying to retire in terms of caring what happens to their savings.
Brent, do you have contact with millennials?
I would say my age group is probably a little bit younger than millennials, like 25 and younger, and I guess millennials now are more like 30-ish. But yes, and I would say there's very few people in my age group, let's say 25, that even think about, like, purchasing a home or doing anything big financially because it's just not doable anymore for them. They're just living life, man. Going out, buying food, drinking, partying. It's like taking it as they go.
Did most of them get a shot to get the jab? Do you know?
No, I would say it's 50-50. I think people had to do it for their jobs went for it, but no, I don't think people, I don't think they were as concerned.
Are you?
I mean,
seeing...
I don't really.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bert.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, I wouldn't say I hang out with a woke crowd by any means, so I don't really know that end of it. I mean, most of the people I run around with think that they're Republicans. I mean, they're not. They're really not. But that's the way they lean in their tech body.
Are you seeing the mortality rate that they're claiming about the jab in your field at this moment?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't even really see a lot of COVID anything. I haven't heard anybody mention it. I ask around to my friends that work, like, ICU, work in hospitals, and they say it's not really much of anything. For my end, I like doing therapy. I'm more like just talking to people all day about how they don't feel well, and it's a lot of nebulous, you know, bullshit. And I'd say people are going crazy for sure. Like, everyone doesn't understand why they feel unwell for no reason. But I wouldn't say I see people getting really sick or dying or anything like that.
Are these people vaccinated you're speaking with, or just unvaccinated, and then they're just being having showing effects of the frequency change?
Both. It's still 50-50. I mean, I meet people that are very pro-vaccine, and I run with it. Good for you. Go ahead. I'm glad you're protecting yourself. And I have other people that are totally anti-vaccine, and I'll run with that, too. I'm like, I understand why you didn't get it. It's a smart move on your part. That's the fun part about my job. I really do see all the different shades of how people are approaching it. But I would say overall, whether they're vaccinated or not, people just don't feel well.
Mm.
They're tired. They're depressed. They're just, like, really having a hard time. And that's really sped up in the last 2 months.
Really? In the last 2 months?
Oh, yeah. It's just, wow. Like, I go to work, and I hate to say it, but it's like I go home, and I'm like, what a bunch of losers. It's just, like, a lot of complaining, but I understand. It's like what we were just talking about. Someone the other day was like, I've been working my whole life, and the economy looks really bad, and, like, I don't know how my retirement's looking now. And I'm like, that's tough, man. I understand. Just everything's pretty much flipped to craziness.
Mm.
But no, nobody's dying. I haven't seen anybody die. But I also don't work in a hospital, so who knows?
Right. Yeah. But that's like, we'll never really know unless it's right before your nose and your neighbors or what's really going on as far as that part. But I know that, you know, in my neighborhood there are some people that aren't feeling well. And, there's this one lady that I met just recently in the last 2 months. She worked for Pfizer, and she demanded that her whole family get vaccinated for last Christmas, and now she has lung problems, lung pressure problems. I've never heard that before. And she's being experimented on right now by the doctors.
Yeah, that's a rare thing in terms of the
lung
blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually brings up some thoughts on my end that I guess more strange things happen to people now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's related to the vaccine, like people getting very sick and then it looks just like COVID, but it's negative and they test for weeks and they're still sick. Just strange things like that.
Wow. But it could also be, like what you were just saying, the last 2 months, maybe it could be the increase, the people that aren't vaccinated, they're feeling the effects of the increase, the AL2SO4, because that's not going to be too favorable for people that aren't on the drops. Ion mentioned it to me tonight. They made a surpassing mark, and I used to have really, like, problems breathing because the air felt so fucking heavy, and, you know, I was like, well, fuck, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm not in terrible shape, but I'm not in super duper shape, but I'm pretty good. But now it's better because I've been pushing through it and doing, you know, more special Qigong and movements and things. But I, just this past week, I had two instances where I had that heavy feeling. I said, yeah, that's, the air's getting heavier. But the wind is blowing here like fucking crazy. So that's the AL2SO4, you know.